This is Charles Anderer, Executive Editor of Casino Journal, and we're here at Sands Bethlehem on the occasion of the opening of their new 300-room hotel. I'm joined here by Michael Levin, President and Chief Operating Officer of Las Vegas Sands. Michael, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
If you could just run through some of the highlights as you see them as the new addition here.
Well, we decided a year ago to restart what was the stopped hotel facility that was originally conceived by Las Vegas Sands back in 06 or 07, I believe. And we had a tight budget that we wanted to finish the property with and a tight time frame. We came in on budget and right in the right time. We wanted to be available for Memorial Day weekend in 11, and we were. We're very pleased with the way it's come out. 300 rooms. It's a very nice and comfortable facility, and we think it's very right for the marketplace. It's not over the top. It's not what you'd find in Las Vegas or Atlantic City or someplace that has big, enormous, fancy hotels. But it's very pleasant and comfortable, and I think it's going to be a real addition to the Lehigh Valley community.
In addition to the hotel, there's some interesting amenities: the indoor pool, the shopping, and a fairly substantial commitment to meeting space. Could you talk about those components?
Yeah, I mean, when we finish the event center and finish the shopping mall, we'll have 30 stores. It'll be an outlet mall of some very good brands that will open softly in November and then grand opening sometime around President's Day weekend in February of 12. The event center will have a lot of meeting space, which we hope to get midweek business in because we know we'll be strong on weekends here. And the indoor pool was designed to generate traffic in the wintertime when groups want to get away and get away for a weekend and have an indoor place to swim. It so far is getting some activity right now, actually. And I think that the amount of restaurants we have at different price points are going to be a very nice attraction because you can come here for a couple of days and eat in five different restaurants or four different restaurants at every price point. So that plus our location to New York and northern New Jersey, and we have very high hopes for the property. And the property will help in our casino business as well because there was some concern about people who don't want to go home, and we'd have to ship them to another property off the property. Here they can have a room and they can stay and they can play. So it'll service a number of different segments. And it's more sort of like what we do, Sands Corporation does, in terms of the type of resorts we built. It's just a smaller version of our bigger versions in Las Vegas and in Asia.
Okay. The gaming business impact is very interesting. A lot of us who watch the industry particularly see the benefit on the table game side. You're busing a lot of people in from New York, and now these folks can stay overnight and maybe play the next morning. Mm-hmm. I think right now your revenue mix is sort of 3.5 to 1 slots to tables or whatever it is. So do you expect that mix to change at all as a result of the hotel?
I think we've just established a new high limit lounge. And a Paisa Club as well. So we're expecting our table business to go up. And I think I can't say whether it'll be half and half because I really don't know. I don't really cover that number very well at this point. But I think I look at this property in terms of what its EBITDA contribution will be to our company. And we were running before table games in the low 40s for a year, $40 to $46 million. We're now, with the hotel and the table games, we're now heading towards 100.
Wow.
And some of that is growth in the slot market as well, although we've had a little bit of deterioration in slots due to the tables. But over time, assuming no additional competition comes in, we think this is going to be, this property and whatever will generate probably north of $100 million of EBITDA on an annual basis, which is pretty good.
Well, we're based in New York, and just looking at it from that standpoint, this seems to be a wonderful hedge against what is happening, what's going to happen with Aqueduct, and what could happen perhaps down the road with live table games in New York. You still have a hotel, so it seems you're really well set up to still capture a lot of that New York market.
I don't know what's going to happen in Aqueduct as far as tables are concerned. Obviously, we get a lot of business from the lower side of New York and the Chinese market that comes over here for the table games. If something comes in between us, like at the Meadowlands or in New York, it could affect that situation. But I think the buffer against that, as you suggested, might be the fact that we do have a property, we can do some meeting business, we can do a getaway kind of situation, and that might buffer that a little bit if competition comes in. Right now, we're in very good shape with that market. We're moving in 37 to 40 buses a day from New York are coming in. And that's a good piece of our table game business. Our slot business is pretty good within the immediate 40 to 50 miles.
Now, Atlantic City is a market that's taken an enormous hit because of the additions, supply additions here in PA, but after a long period of time, they're going to have some new supply additions with Revel and of course the new gold nugget there. It would seem to me this addition is a nice hedge against whatever improvements Atlantic City might throw at the market.
I think Atlantic City needed a new sort of a new breath on life with a couple of new products. I think that will help. The problem with Atlantic City has is that Pennsylvania and Connecticut have sucked off a lot of the bus traffic and the slot traffic that would normally come in, and it's going to be tough to recover that. I think Revel and the Golden Nugget will be able to get some weekend business. Thank you. Some weekend business. And some other business, people, you know, as long as the distances are the same. I mean, Revel is going to be a totally different product than this. It's going to be much more exciting, much bigger, and stuff like that. But I think if somebody wants a sort of a quieter environment, they'll get it here with the entertainment, with the shopping, etc. But it's you got a long distance from here to Atlantic City. So I wish them well, I think Revel and anything new with the Golden Nugget will put some of the places that are on the teetering end out, and that supply condition will go down, and Revel, Borgata, and a few others will survive there.
Well, while we have you here, we have a couple of more minutes. I wanted to go address the world outside of the Northeast. With Las Vegas, where do you think we are in terms of the recovery cycle there, and what are some of the indicators that Las Vegas Sands sort of points to as signs that perhaps the worst is over?
Well, I think the worst was over in 10. In other words, I think we started to see in 10 a return of the convention and meeting business to Las Vegas, which is so important for midweek business. I think in 10 we began to see an uptick in our weekend business over 9, which was a tough year for Vegas. The Vegas is dependent upon taking a 36 million tourist visitation up to 42. In order to improve the demand to raise the room rates. Without the room rates being raised, Vegas will continue to struggle. Numbers just came out for April. Play was down a little bit. Revenue was down a little bit. May was a better month, I believe. I haven't seen all the numbers yet. But May is a better month. But it's going to bounce up and down. But you're not going to see a 2007 year in Vegas for quite some time because, unfortunately, you can't just add 4,000, 8,000 city center rooms. You can't add another 4,000 cosmopolitan rooms. You can't just keep putting that supply on with the same level of visitation. So to get from 36 to 40 million, you need about a 10% increase in visitation. And that's not going to be around for a while. So, and some of that is because of the proliferation of casinos around outside Nevada. You've got 60 plus in California, 40 plus in Arizona, another 30 in Colorado. So with that, it's siphoned off some of that drive business for the weekend. So now airplane travel is up to Vegas. They're putting on more flights. So that's positive. So we are, I'd say, in a recovery situation. We're probably about halfway to where we were.
Okay. And finally, in Macau, where every month it seems there's eye-popping numbers, 42% revenue. It almost looks like the revenue figures on steroids. But if you're looking out, people still say that between now and 2015, there's still plenty of room to grow in Macau. Generally speaking, what's your view?
I think there's plenty of room to grow beyond 15. You know, I would tell you this, which you haven't really seen printed, but if you look at Las Vegas in 1948 to 1955 or so, or 60, everybody was saying, there was a Life magazine cover that we have on that thing that says, you know, too much growth in the 50s, they had can-can girls dancing and they can't fill it. And Vegas just kept going. And Vegas stopped going when other destinations proliferated gaming. And what you have in Macau is there's no other gaming place in China. So as long as that takes place, you're talking about billions of people, not billions that have the capability, but a significant number, hundreds of millions that have the capability to play and want to play. So Macau has got, as long as the facilities are good and the infrastructure is right, you're going to continue to see growth numbers that are somewhat eye-popping. Now, if I said to you, you know, if you grew at 10% a year or 15% a year, you're going to 15% a year, you're going to double every 4.5 years. And right now you're talking about $35 billion of casino gaming win. So you, if you had a, only a 15% growth, you're talking about $70 billion in 5 years.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to believe that. Now, one analyst came out the other day at $60 billion. So that's how she's done it. She's, if you go up by 12%, you're gonna, you know, you'll get to $60 billion. So.
I think the analogy with Las Vegas is very apt, and historically where they are and where we were perhaps 50 years ago, there are some interesting parallels.
You know, I think people in Vegas often thought that, you know, the outside proliferation of casinos would not hurt them. And in fact, you know, Atlantic City, I don't think hurt Vegas at all, really. I mean, minimally. But what has hurt is that when you start dropping casinos in states where people can drive to you in 4 hours and not get on an airplane, it's got to have some impact, and you just got to have growth. Now, fortunately for Vegas, they've maintained a wonderful position in the group and convention market, and they got a good position in the international tourist market because it's a big bargain for the people in the other foreign currencies. And they also get a lot of high-end VIP Asian gamers. So that hasn't spread to California yet. So I think Vegas is safe, but cost of entry for the best thing I can say is Encore, Palazzo, Cosmopolitan, and City Center doesn't return a dime. None of them return a dime. $25 billion of investment.
Very insightful, Michael. Thank you. I know we're out of time. You're very busy. We wish you all success here at Sands Bethlehem and going forward.